Things getting busier in the Missouri Senate as one of the priority pieces of legislation making its way through the upper chamber this week in the form of Right to Work.
Right to Work was the entire week this week. We took it up Monday, worked on it every day this week, and finally perfected the bill last night around 5 or 6 p.m. I don't remember exactly. Today we'll third read that bill and pass it and send it to the Missouri House for their approval, and they'll have to send it through their process, of course. It was a free and open debate. A lot of discussion on the floor. Mostly it was by those folks who did not want us to pass the Freedom to Work legislation, who feel like that it would be harmful to unions or somehow harmful to workers. I think that is absolutely not the case. I think that this will actually have a great benefit to Missouri and workers. I think there'll be increased opportunities in Missouri, and there'll be a lot of laborers who will have jobs that maybe now don't have jobs. That might not happen overnight, but it will happen over a series of weeks or even maybe a couple of months. And I think we're going to start seeing results, I believe, right away. There will be some that say it's going to take longer, but I think we typically in the marketplace see results much faster than anticipated. So I'm happy we've tried for a long time to address this issue in Missouri. We've been uncompetitive with a number of our neighbor states who have eliminated forced labor dues. This will help Missouri's economic development, and it'll help us become more prosperous, and I'm just pleased that we're able to pass it. I believe the House will pass it. They passed their version a week or so ago. I think they will likely see this language is very similar, and that they'll take this up and pass it, and I'm confident the governor will sign it. So Missouri will become the 28th state in the country that allows workers to work for whomever they want and be a member of any union that they want.
At the same time, committee hearings continuing as well. There are several education measures that are in that mix, including some of yours.
I have had a couple of education bills heard this week, one in education, in the education committee, one in the government reform committee. In the education committee, we were able to present the bill that gives a simplified grading system to each school building, so parents have a better feel for how well their school, the school where they send their children, is doing in terms of meeting minimum education standards. It's been done in a number of other states. We're not pioneering here. We're simply seeing, I guess, policies that worked in other states and saying these will work in Missouri as well. So we're still doing some tailoring of the bill, but essentially what it means is every year parents would receive a letter grade on each of the buildings where they have children attending school. And that letter grade would also include whether that's a description in there of whether that's been an improvement, or whether it's been the same, whether it's the same as the year before, or whether they've fallen down in terms of the quality of education from that school. There was a lot of debate. I think we can get that bill out of committee. I'm hoping that we can. And I think that it will give parents a real reason to get engaged and stay engaged in the education of their children. And in the long run, will benefit everyone, because schools will tell you, teachers will tell you, administrators will tell you that one of the battles they fight is keeping parents engaged in the education of their children. That is so clearly seen as a benefit to giving those parents annually an indication of how well their school building is doing, so that they have a reason to ask questions, whether to pat those teachers and administrators on the back or whether to ask them what they're doing to improve the educational environment for their children. Another education bill that was heard this week was education savings account, which has a potential of being just a real significant measure for giving parents options in the education of their children. There are some groups that are very easy to see its application, such as special needs students, small populations of students that have particular issues with education, some that just simply don't fit in well in kind of the factory model of public education. And those students are oftentimes left behind, not because there isn't a determination to teach them, it's because the circumstances just aren't such that they foster a good learning environment. So education savings accounts would set up a system of tax credits whereby businesses or individuals could donate to tax credit organizations who would make scholarships available to parents, and they could apply for those scholarships. They could use those to get special tutoring. They could use those to go to another public school that may have a program that the one to which they're assigned does not. They could use them to buy virtual classes or even go to a virtual school. They could use them in any way that they saw fit to buy certain equipment that would be specific to the needs of their children, and it would just give parents such a great opportunity to be sure that their child was well educated and learned everything that they were capable of learning. In the states that have implemented this, we've seen just very enthusiastic parents once they begin to engage in the program. I think it was the state of Arizona who who evaluates their program by polling their parents and asking them how satisfied they are with how well they're able to educate their children using this program. 100% of those parents were satisfied or very satisfied with the way their program is administered. So we're looking real hard at theirs to make sure that we take advantage of everything other states have learned. But if we can move that bill through the legislature this year, then that would be a program available to parents to make major choices in how their children are educated.
Also this week in another committee, a infrastructure/utilities bill from you.
That's right. That was another fairly lengthy hearing that we had discussing whether or not Missouri's electricity infrastructure is in fact in need of repair and upgrading, and if so, what's the best regulatory environment to see that that happens. Senate Bill 190 is the bill that I was presenting at that point. I believe that it's time that we took steps, exceptional steps, to try to upgrade, modernize Missouri's electric grid. There are many technologies out there today that are available, but we are not able to implement them in Missouri because the grid is so old. We have places in St. Louis where underground wiring is 70, 80 years old. We have substations that are 50 years plus old. And those not only present circumstances that compromise cybersecurity, but they also compromise the reliability of the grid. And they greatly increase the maintenance costs. You can't automate stations that are that old. They simply don't have the equipment that allows that automation. There are a lot of things that can be done. We heard a lot of information over the interim with an interim committee that I chaired. Senate Bill 190 is an attempt to use some of that information and apply it to Missouri's regulatory structure so that Missouri will have a first-class and modern infrastructure environment and a regulatory administration that promotes that and protects it.